please step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 470. I am Nick Mayo in for Lisa and Nicole. I am joined on the board by the remarkably talented, handsome Tracy Schultz. Say hi, Tracy.
Hey.
You're listening to KOOP HD1, HD3, Hornsby, and KOOP.org. Each week, we take a look at theater from many different angles. If it's theater, it's on Offstage and On the Air.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up.
Heart and music.
Today is Wednesday, June 20th, 2018. On today's show, we have Something for Nothing Theater Company and their production of Twelfth Night. Also, we are joined by Andrea Ariel and her dance company, Locked and their production of Locked In. Also, we have Girls, 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 improvised musical, and their production of Broad Ambition. We got a full house today, guys, full house. And of course, you know, we'll have lively discussions, including the news and views from the world of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, Helsinki, Zorn, Seguin, Buda, and Kyle. Stay with us. Oh man, you gotta have heart and music. How you doing, Tracy?
Gotta have heart and music, man. It's like, that's a perfect song.
I know. We need a lot of heart these days. So you'll notice a theme in today's music. It's all the music of William Finn, who is one of my favorite Broadway composers. And I thought, you know what? When times are a little bit gray and a little bit bleary, I turn on that music. I turn on William Finn. I turn on something that inspires me. I teach my students all about their passion playlist. So he's on the top of my passion playlist. So every song today is by William Finn. Tracy, what's going on in the world other than rainy days?
It's almost the first day of summer. June 21st.
That's confusing to me.
June 21st is the first day on the calendar of the summer. It's also my birthday. So
what? So, that's not confusing to me. What's confusing to me is, hasn't it been summer for like for a while now?
A year.
Austin. It has its waves. It's like of 80 degrees and then 40 degrees and 80 degrees.
So when is the first day of summer?
I guess June 21st is official calendar.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, summer solstice.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Watch out. Watch out. I just want to say a great thanks to Kim Simpson. I listened in the car, and Kim, this is one of your finest shows that I've listened to. I just really, really enjoyed it. And I thank you for being a collaborator here on KOOP who shines light so beautifully on what's going on in the world and bringing awareness to International Refugee Day and playing such glorious music. I found myself, my heart was in my throat the whole time. Really, thank you, Kim, for such a great show.
No, you make a good point, because it's like, it's good to emphasize the positive and emphasize like all the great things that we get. It's like from having a diverse series of cultures that we have in this world. It's like, and it's good to celebrate.
Yeah. I really enjoyed the show. And it was a celebration, right? Sometimes in the face of adversity, which we're experiencing a lot of right now and challenge and something to celebrate parts of cultures that deserve celebration. So I really appreciated that show. Guys, we've got so many people in the studio today. It's really exciting. There's way more of them than there are me. It's a thrilling, thrilling time. Of course, missing Lisa and Nicole today, especially because, guys, you picked the one day where there was like so many people here. You left me here, but no, I wish you guys well. I know you are busy working, and we miss you dearly and look forward to being back with you next week. But let's just jump right into some of our guests who we have in the studio today. Andrea Ariel, welcome.
Hey, welcome. Thank you.
Deb Strusend. Did I say that correctly?
You did.
I did. Yay, I win. Karen Mal.
Hello.
Wonderful. Sanjay Rao.
Pleasure to be here.
Max Green.
Howdy.
Hey, I'm doing so well, and everyone's in order so far. You guys be so proud. Cynthia Olkers. Yes, make that.
I got in order.
Make the adjustment. Shayna Merlin.
Hello.
Hi. And Kimberly Finkelman.
Closing it out.
Wow. That was really well done. Because you almost were in order. That was fantastic. We've got a really fantastic show today. Obviously, lots of wonderful talent in the studio. And I look forward to hearing about your productions and what's going on and sharing them with our listeners. It's an exciting show. But before we do that, I want to jump into some news, things that are going on in the world, things that are going on in the theater world, things that are maybe giving us a little lightness in our spirit in this time that's very challenging. One cool thing is the Equity, Actors Equity, has awarded Once on This Island with the Outstanding Chorus Award, which I didn't even know that existed, that the union itself is acknowledging outstanding choruses. That's, to me, quite lovely. Actors Equity has chosen Once on This Island for its 12th annual, oh, so it's new, 12th annual award for Outstanding Broadway Chorus. This award honors distinctive talents and contributions by original chorus members. That's pretty rockin', right? I think that those are so many members of our theater community who, especially in the light of the Tony Awards, where they're all up there working and kicking and entertaining us, that I'm glad that the union decided to draw some attention to this this specific show. Has anyone seen Once on This Island?
Nope.
No.
Mm-mm. I want
well,
to.
Yeah, it's a beautiful show, and this ensemble in particular, it's kind of told in a Brechtian manner, right? Where the ensemble is on stage for the majority of the show. So if ever there was an ensemble this season that deserved it, it was them. So that's super exciting, and congratulations to
you. Get 10 points for using Brechtian. Well done.
Right, I did well.
Yeah.
See, Mom, private school paid off. So congratulations to the cast of Once on This Island. Taking it from the from that to a little bit something that I thought was interesting. There's no way, right, that the theater can't be a home and house some of this hurt and anger that's going on in our country right now. And before we jump into this, I always have to say, because Lisa says the views expressed on this program are not necessarily that of the station and its affiliates, but just us here on Offstage. But y'all, there was some crazy Trump supporter in Robert De Niro's musical, which is A Bronx Tale. So post Tony's, when Robert De Niro made his famous proclamation about Trump and used expletives. Someone got kind of quote unquote air quotes got back at him by coming to see his musical, and at the curtain call, when it's supposed to be about the audience, he flew up a big flag, held up a big flag that said "Keep America Great." So, what are our thoughts on that? I kind of like that theaters that stuff's going on in theaters. What are your thoughts on that? Anyone?
I think the slogan is interesting, right? He didn't say "Make America Great Again." He had "Keep America Great." That's interesting. That's different.
Interesting. Yeah, I agree. I just think it's a, you know, this happened when politics make their way into the theater. When Mike Pence went to see Hamilton, he notoriously got booed. Robert De Niro has received a lot of backlash from his comments on the Tony Awards, and I'm always a fan of people using their voices and their platforms, and it doesn't bother me in the slightest. This actually doesn't bother me that this man went in there, and I wish he wouldn't have done it at curtain call, because that's the actor's time. Yeah. I wish he would have like had a little something at intermission, but says the ushers cursing me silently. I support it. Do whatever you need to do. Use your power of speech. But don't get in the way of a curtain call. You're lucky it wasn't Patti LuPone. She would have bulldozed over you. Come on now. It would
be your last curtain.
It would be your last curtain. Speaking of unforeseen moments within the theater, there was a really cool thing that happened. Really cool thing. Tom Hanks, have you heard? Tom Hanks is out in Los Angeles doing Henry IV, which is super, super exciting. And he's playing Falstaff. And which is a production that I'd love to see. I'd love to see Tom Hanks do something. But in the middle of the performance, an audience member passed out, bringing the production to a halt. And the audience started to grow a little restless, and medics tried to aid the ill theater goer. But Tom Hanks, jumped on stage and distracted the audience with this improvised, girls, girls, girls. imagine improvising Shakespeare, but he just got up there with his sword and started going and kept the audience entertained. And while they assisted this ill patron and got this person out. But I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing.
Improv helps you fail and do it really well, right? Because failure doesn't scare you as much. Sometimes it scares you, but it doesn't scare you as much. And so then you can take the genre you've been studying and just go with it. And he did.
I know. I think it's also great when your mind is, and you guys from 12th Night can understand this, when your mind is in Shakespeare's language, that he has the ability to improv with Shakespeare or just play around using Shakespeare words, which I love. I love that he took that opportunity to jump back on stage.
Yeah, I wonder if he killed himself on stage and then came out. Yeah, and then like was his own evil brother or
apparently there was a sword involved and he was like, you know, cursing at people in the audience in Shakespearean language and having a good time, but more than anything, keeping the energy alive in the room, which I thought was fun.
I hope someone had the diligence to dictate all of that which he said. I'd like to use his material for a monologue for my next audition.
Yes. I think you should. Also, just like Tom Hanks on stage, come on! I want to see that. I think it'd be great. Falstaff. Speaking of that production, there's something that caught my eye about that particular production. We don't ever think of Los Angeles, right, as the theater hub, or but you know, occasionally something will come through and do some wonderful work out there. But this particular production has a partnership between the Veterans Administration, and they have used their platform of Henry IV to create a program where veterans can come and use their skills to help build sets and help find artistry, which I just think is beautiful, a wonderful way to give back, getting veterans an opportunity to find a community. And as we all know, like, there's no better community than the arts community. So actor Rafi Borisman said he thinks a lot about what it does and what he does to get into the mindset, but what does it take to do to enter the arena of war, and how could we like open our minds to these soldiers, these men and women who are coming back, and offer our supports? So I think it's super cool. And he says this play is about honor and about rapscallions and about redemption. And what a better way to, you know, to give back to the community. So that production is on my mind. It's also directed by Daniel Sullivan, who's a very, very, very successful Broadway theater director. He directs most of the Shakespeare in the Park there at the Delacorte. So that'd be a fun one to go see. Mm-hmm. Also, Othello. There's a lot of Shakespeare going on. Othello just opened in Central Park. Did y'all hear about that?
Oh, wow.
Got some great reviews. Anyone ever been to Shakespeare in the Park?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes? What did you see? Do you remember what you saw?
I got to catch Julius Caesar before it got shut down.
Oh, speaking of other like people doing stuff, that's awesome. So that was last summer, right?
It was last summer.
Awesome. What did you see? Do you remember?
I saw Taming of the Shrew set in the Wild West.
Oh, cool.
Many years ago.
Do you remember who was in it?
I do not.
I saw a production of Romeo and Juliet in the park with Lauren Ambrose, who's now playing Eliza Doolittle, and Oscar Isaac, you know, the movie guy. It was one of my favorite productions of Romeo and Juliet I've ever seen. I didn't think I was going to like it outdoors, but oh my goodness, Austin Pendleton was in it, Lauren Ambrose, Oscar Isaac. It was a gorgeous production. I just remember like watching Lauren Ambrose's feet and being like, how can someone act with their toes, like watching her toes look 14 and in love. It was amazing.
I'd love to see Oscar Isaac. Was he playing Romeo?
He was like, playing.
I would love to see. I can't. I'm having a hard time imagining that.
Well, it was a handful of years ago. I mean, both he and Lauren were a little bit older than they should have been to play those roles. But I mean, getting actors that are of actual age to play those roles. He was great. He was really sensitive and soft. There was a softness to him.
He has a real way with Shakespearean text. I got to see him in Sam Gold's production of Hamlet last summer.
You did?
Mind-blowing.
That's phenomenal.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I went to college with Oscar when he was Isaac Hernandez. So we trained together, and he's phenomenally talented. One of those people who, like, in school, you're like, oh, okay, there you go. You just kind of came in here knowing everything. Have fun for the next 4 years. I would have loved to have seen that Hamlet, though.
Yeah, it was incredible.
Yeah? That's awesome. Well, I'm just going to spend a couple more minutes talking about things that are going on in the world. Ooh, this one's kind of weird, cool, exciting. Oh, that's not it. It's the other one. Lynn Nottage has been tapped to pen the book of the musical inspired by the life of Michael Jackson. Thoughts? Michael Jackson musical. We got a Cher musical.
Wow.
We just had a Donna Summer musical. What's going on? Anyone have thoughts? Other than we just need to listen to radio.
I mean, like, that's a lot of pressure for whoever has to write that score. Like, that's...
Yeah, it has to be really good.
It has to be amazing. I mean, I don't know if I want to sign up for that gig.
It's got to be tough for a performer, too, because it's like you have to have somebody who's super athletic to dance, and to also like to be able to portray. It's like that mythos, that imagery. It's asking a lot from somebody. It's like to be able to take that on.
And also someone who's so loved.
Yeah, also someone so loved. But also, I mean, what are they going to cover? You know, because there's a lot of controversy there, too.
Yeah.
That's a really good point. There's been a lot of conversation with these bio musicals, whether it's Cher or Donna Summer. There's been a little bit of backlash based off of the inaccurate portrayals where people have gone like, yeah, you're telling the story of Donna Summer, like the gay community, LGBT community came out and said like, but you're not telling the part of the story where she turned against her fans and, you know... They tell a sort of like musicalized version. So Michael Jackson, what an incredibly challenging story. I mean, if you're going to choose a playwright, choose Lynn Nottage, but what a very challenging one to create that dimension.
No, that brings up a good point of kind of like telling these stories, and then you're kind of glossing a lot of things over, and it's like, and you have to kind of trim the story to fit the time period. It's like for the running time of the musical. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it would take a very deft hand to kind of show of like all the shades, all the different sides for Michael Jackson.
Well, I wonder if they're going to try to focus on him because he's a child star and an adult star. Is she really going to try to cover all of that, or is she just going to focus in on a certain part of his life that can also help her omit some of the parts maybe she doesn't want to highlight?
That's a good point. It's like if you kind of focus on like 1 year or like one period, it's like that'll help us and maybe do allusions to, like, to everything else.
Whenever you're writing about a real person, a real history, there's going to be that reshaping. There's going to be that glossing over. Like with Hamilton, you know, I read the biography that inspired it, and I was like, oh, there are so many things that he has changed so radically. Mm-hmm. But that goes way back. Shakespeare did the same thing when he was writing history plays. Mm-hmm. If you're writing about real things, real people, you have to reshape to make it fit into the shape of a play.
Mm-hmm. I, of course, completely agree that those things must happen. I think that in particular, Michael Jackson has one that would require you know what, maybe, you know, they'll do what they've been doing recently and you'll have to see like it in four nights. Like these it's come to Michael Jackson the musical part one, part two, part three, part four.
There is that.
There
yeah.
is always that. Speaking of exciting new things in creation, Pharrell Williams and Kenya Barris are collaborating on a Juneteenth inspired musical, which I think is quite timely. About Juneteenth, the African-American holiday honoring the date that the U.S. Army ships forced Texas landowners to free the last of their slaves. So,
just yesterday, Juneteenth.
I know. I thought that was fantastic. That's exciting. I like Pharrell Williams. And I also love that, I think that story sings to me. Like, that makes sense how that could be told beautifully with music. So that's exciting. Speaking of new musicals, new things, the world premiere of, and this is like from the sublime to the ridiculous, the world premiere of Clueless, the musical, will be presented as part of the 2018-19 season at the New Group. Okay, forgetting that. But there's also, no, that's exciting. I mean, I loved the movie, whatever. The New Group will also kick off with Char White's The True, starring Edie Falco. Come on, Michael McKean and Peter Scolari. Scott Elliott will direct this run, which makes me super excited. And if you've never seen Edie Falco on stage, it's a treat. And if that's something you'd like to do, I would encourage you to get information and go if you would like to. Alan Cumming is also returning to the stage in Jeremy O'Harris's new play, Daddy, directed by Dania Taymor. Also another person, like, that's a really exciting scene for the New Group, to have a new musical, to have Edie Falco and Alan Cumming, and a new play by Jesse Eisenberg, Yeah, Sister, will be directed by Scott Elliott. So it's a cool season at the New Group.
That's a lot of material, right?
It's a lot of material. So as there's a lot of things going on, there's a lot of people in the studio, I want to be respectful of our time. So we will cut that a little short. And when we come back, we will be speaking to our friend Andrea Ariel Dance Company and their production of Locked In. Stay with us.
Sure, growing up, I would live the
You are listening to Offstage and On the Air. I'm Nick Mayo and for Lisa Nicole with my friend Tracy Schultz on the board.
Hi.
We're excited you guys are here today. We got a lot of people in the studio, and I'd love to kick off this segment with our friend Andrea Ariel and Andrea Ariel Dance Theater. How are you?
I'm good, Nick. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for being here. Welcome to Offstage and On the Air. So you've got an exciting piece going on right now, Locked In.
Yes. Locked In is a fusion of original live music, dance, and sound painting exploring our digital lives for four shows only this weekend. And I see your face and you're going, what's sound painting?
That's exactly why did you do my job for me?
Well, that's pretty much everyone's question, and that's sort of one of my other jobs as to how to
educate
people about what is sound painting. In a nutshell, sound painting is a unique artistic sign language that is used to compose improvised performances with musicians, actors, dancers. You could use visual artists and media artists as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's composing live in the moment. So
there's an improvisational element to
absolutely.
It.
So in Locked In, we have composed music by Andy Nolte. He wrote all original tunes for the show. And we have choreographed dance that I created with the dancers in collaboration. And then we will also be remixing and deconstructing these songs and choreography through the sign language, which is conducted, much like when you see a conductor at a symphony, except that it's all sign language. And it's a language that was developed by Walter Thompson and the Walter Thompson Orchestra in New York City in the late 70s.
Wow.
He was a jazz musician and wanted to shape the improvisations of their performances. So he started developing the sign language. Then he brought in actors and dancers and started developing it further as a multidisciplinary language. Wow. I met him in 97. Some friends who knew him in New York brought him here to Hyde Park Theater, and I learned sound painting really fast and was jumped into a show. And afterwards, I was like, oh my God, I love this. And so I connected with him. At that time, he was holding think tanks in Woodstock, New York. And we'd all go to Birdcliff for like a month and develop this language with him. So that started in like 1998. And I did that until 2005, and then he relocated to Europe. And now it has taken off in Europe. I mean, it's all over Europe, and there's a whole community of people using this language there. In the United States, there's people on the East Coast, some on the West Coast, Colorado, but I'm the only one in this region doing this.
Wow. Do you know what it reminds me? And I could be completely off, so please correct me. I'm off often. That was fun to say. I'm off often. It reminds me a little bit of contact improvisation and that sort of world. Is there... I'm off.
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
no! Yes.
Now, well, you could sign using contact as part of the language. The language has over 1,500 gestures. And they are who, what, when, and sometimes how. So if I was going to sound paint all of you right here, I would say... This is whole group. I have my arms up over my head. So that means all of you are going to be in this.
Mm-hmm.
And then I could say, laugh.
Uh-huh, and we'd all go,
wait, you have to wait for the go sign.
Oh.
And then I'll give you the go, and then you start laughing. Ready? Here. You have to keep going. This is volume. Volume down. I could slow it down. You got to keep laughing.
Wow.
Yeah, that's just a real simple thing. But, you know, so in the show, it's possible that I could turn around and sound paint the audience, too.
So the
conductor is called a sound painter. So in this show, we are weaving between the songs and the choreography and me sound painting, and then the best way to describe it is deconstructing or remixing it in new compositions in the moment. So I'm not planning that. I'm finding it in the moment with the performers.
That's so exciting.
So no two shows are the same.
So you kind of, how did you, I mean, obviously there's a reason why you came came into and are curious about the idea of being locked into a device or locked into.
Thanks for bringing it back to the subject.
No. I want our listeners to know about what they would expect when they go to see this particular piece. So obviously you have a fascination with our relationship and being locked into devices or technology.
Yeah, you know, as a choreographer, one of the things I think I do is I observe a lot in the world. My work really comes from things that keep coming, mm-hmm. that keep pulling my attention, right? Mm-hmm. And I think over the last year or so, it's something I've just paid attention to a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, observing people and their behaviors and everybody sees this, right? You go to a restaurant and there's a mm-hmm. whole table of people all on their phones and nobody's talking, you know?
Uh-huh. Like, and the food's getting
cold.
But
like, so I just started getting fascinated with that. And so I decided to do a piece to explore it farther, to mm-hmm. see, you know, not in a positive or negative way, but something to just sort of really look at that and dig into it. So all of us, when we started working on the piece, we did a bunch of popcorning of words. We made big sheets of all these words that just sort of encompassed our collective experiences. Uh-huh. And then Andy took all that and started writing all these songs. So there's like
beautiful.
The digital life, where are you? There's another one, The Signal, The Network, and then he wrote one that's called Locked In. Mm-hmm. And so basically, the other side of what we've explored, especially with the dance, is can we dance with our phones? Or, you know, so we are going from, it's really about kind of how we connect, like things that are about us connecting and being really connected to each other and then getting disrupted or pulled away mm-hmm. by our devices.
Yeah.
So in the piece, I'm really playing around with those two dichotomies.
How wonderful. And tell me, how many dancers are you working
There's
with?
There's four dancers and four musicians.
Four dancers, four musicians. Mm-hmm. So and what do you call the sound conductor? Is it called?
Sound painter.
Sound painter.
Mm-hmm.
So you're the sound painter plus four dancers and four musicians.
Yep.
And original compositions. And I see there's some exciting musicians on this.
Oh yeah, they're super great. Andy Nolte wrote all the music and he's doing vocals, guitars, keys. He has a sampler and a synthesizer. He's got all kinds of fun stuff. And then Gary Franklin is on drums. Alon Uribe is on bass, and he's also using a synthesizer.
Wow.
They all got inspired to like get all these electronic.
Isn't it wild that they're making this beautiful music with technology, doing a piece about technology and its disruption? So
And Lila Louise Henley on flute, saxophone, vocals, and she's also got a keyboard. So yeah, they're having a good time. And it's really cool. The tunes are amazing. They really stick with you, and the lyrics are just incredible. So that's super strong.
So you have your first audience tomorrow.
Yeah.
What are you most looking forward to, you personally, with opening your process up to an audience? What are you most looking forward to?
Well, I think that once the audience is there, it becomes real. It's like we're ready for them. You know, that whole interaction of exchange of experience and having that energy surrounding, because everybody will be sort of around the space. I think that it puts you in the moment. You guys were talking about improvisation earlier, you know, and the beauty of improvisation is like you go like, oh my God, I am so terrified because I can't plan what I'm doing. I have to be only present and in the moment. And then when it happens, it happens somehow, and then time suspends, and then you go, wow, what just happened? You know, but when the audience is there, it ups that energy because there's this incredible presence and anticipation of what's going to happen.
So you're playing starting tomorrow at the Museum of Human Achievement.
Yep, we are. We have shows Thursday, Friday, Saturday at 8:00 and Sunday at 5:00. The doors are going to open at 7:30 because the show is going to start with an art gallery show with Yulia Lanina, who I'm partnering with. We're doing shows at the same time. So she has this incredible art show. And at 7:30, you can come in and see that art show. And then at 8:00, she's going to do a short 15-minute multimedia performance that involves animation. And she has all these animatronic sculptures and music by Vladimir Raneev. And then we'll all transition into the main theater and get ready for my show, which is about 60 minutes.
What a wonderful night.
Yep, and the dancers are Allison Dolan, Clay Moore. We also have Angie Johnson and Lisa Kogdish.
Wonderful.
So dancers from our community, they're very amazing. The cast is just incredible.
Well,
so
your enthusiasm from it is definitely translating. I'm excited about it. You talk about it beautifully, which I hope you would for a sound painter. But you
I'm actually certified multidisciplinary sound painter and educator. So
unfortunately, we've run out of time, but okay. I am so grateful that you came to visit us today. And if our listeners would like more information on on Andrea Ariel's dance theater and their production of Locked In, you can go to arieldance.org. And their show is playing from the 21st to the 24th at the Museum of Human Achievement. For more information, please visit arieldance.org. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much, Nick. Thanks to all of you for sound painting with me.
All right, we'll be right back. Stay with us.
I believe and I
so shall. Once again, this is Offstage on Air. I'm Nick Mayo. That was exciting to hear about on Andrea Ariel. I had never heard of sound painting.
It sounds really neat, and it also sounds like it's audience interactive, so I'm kind of looking forward to seeing how that goes.
Super great. Well, I am thrilled that we have Something for Nothing Theater Company and their production of Twelfth Night here. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We've got director Deb Struzand. Did I say it right?
Struzand.
Struzand, great. And Karen Mall.
That's me.
Wonderful. And Sanjay Rao.
Yes, sir.
And Max Green.
Hello.
So, guys, Twelfth Night... No one's heard of it. It's a new piece.
One of the least popular plays ever known done. Man. It's actually on, Beyond Pain had it on their, it's on the chart of the most popular plays done in Austin, but it's right near the bottom. So I was like, okay, this is a sweet spot where people will come to see it, but it's not like, oh, it's another X.
So Deb, what made you want to direct this production of Twelfth Night right now at this theater doing this?
Twelfth Night is my favorite Shakespearean comedy. It's time for a comedy, right? It's time to laugh. Mm-hmm. We need the laughter. We need the relaxation. But at the same time, Twelfth Night is a comedy that is in possession of its own depth. Mm-hmm. It's a comedy that is about people pursuing things that are incredibly important to them, whether it's making a living, falling in love, getting over grief. All of those things are incredibly important, but those people, in the way that they pursue those things so earnestly, act in such a ridiculous fashion. Mm-hmm. I talk about it as like slipping over these narrative banana peels where mm-hmm. you're just trying so hard to get where you're going and then you just fall, you know, pratfall. Not literally, but mm-hmm. in the way that you behave. That's why.
How are you guys as actors? How are you having a good time?
Certainly.
Certainly.
Absolutely.
Good. End of show.
It's a delightful cast, and my 6-year-old daughter really loved it. She loved the comedy, which just shows you that good comedy is good comedy. And mm-hmm. when actors know what they're saying and they're committed to it and they're committed to their physicality and the text, then it just reads and it shows. And it's a beautiful, beautiful production.
And Karen, you play Olivia, correct?
Yes, I do.
And Sanjay, who do you play?
I'm playing the Duke Orsino.
Wonderful, mm. wonderful. And Max?
I'm Festy the Fool.
You get to have the fun.
I mean,
everyone gets to have
and
fun.
And all these roles are, even the most serious of us, they're really funny roles. There's great comedy in all of it.
I agree. Who's playing your Viola?
Taji Senior.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
She's from St. Ed's.
Yes.
Oh, she's lovely. That's
she's
great.
Fantastic.
That's wonderful. What a fun cast. Well, I know you guys have some scenes prepared for us. Deb, would you like to set up this first scene?
Certainly. So we have Olivia, and she is in mourning. She comes on stage. She's got a veil on. She's looking at photos of her family, which her father and brother have recently passed. And then her fool, who works for her but is maybe in trouble, comes on and starts talking to her.
All right. So this is Karen Mall as Olivia, Sanjay Rao as Orsino, and Max Green as Feste in Something for Nothing's production of Twelfth Night.
Wit, and it be thy will, put me into good fooling. Those wits that think they have thee do very oft prove fools. But I, that am sure I lack thee, may pass for a wise man. God bless thee, lady.
Take the fool away.
Do you not hear, fellow? Take away the lady.
Go Go to, you're a dry fool. I'll know more of you.
The lady bad take away the fool. Therefore, I say again, take her away.
Sir, I bade them take away you.
Miss prison in the highest degree. I wear not motley in my brain. Good Madonna, give me leave to prove you a fool.
Can you do it?
Dexterously, good Madonna.
Make your proof.
I must catechize you for it, Madonna. Good, my mouse of virtue, answer me.
Well, sir, for want of other idleness, I'll bide your proof.
Good Madonna, why mournest thou?
Good fool, for my brother's death.
I think his soul is in hell, Madonna.
I know his soul is in heaven, fool.
The more fool, Madonna, to mourn for your brother's soul being in heaven. Take away the fool, gentlemen.
That was wonderful.
Bravo. Awesome.
Good job, guys. So Olivia's relationship with Feste, they have a fun one, don't they?
They do. I think Olivia really has great affection for Feste, but she has to keep him on his toes and make him earn his keep and make him, especially at this dreary, sorrowful, and also boring time of mourning. She's really looking for a little bit of for a little bit of entertainment, and he never fails to provide.
Feste provides the fun, and he can see that his mistress needs it at all times.
Do you know what Feste stands for? Fun. No, I just made that up.
I was like, looked at my director like, wait, is there something
concerned?
I thought I did all my research.
I'm so sorry. Your face was just like, oh no, I missed it.
It does have the same root as festival and festivity, so that's totally fair.
Yes. That's true.
Pay no attention to to me. So I know we have another scene, if you guys like to do one more scene.
We do. So that's the true comic side of the play, but it's also contains a whole lot of drama, and so we're going to hear from the dramatic side. This is right near the end when Orsino comes to see Olivia, whom he's long been courting at a distance, and he makes his one last attempt to win her.
Great, so we have Sanjay Rao and Karen Mao from Something for Nothing's production of Twelfth Night.
What would my lord, but that he may not have, wherein Olivia may seem serviceable?
Gracious Olivia!
If it be aught to the old tune, my lord, it is as fat and fulsome to mine ear as howling after music.
Still so cruel.
Still so constant, lord.
What to perverseness, you uncivil lady, to whose ingrate and unauspicious altar my soul, the faithless offering, have breathed out. What shall I do?
Even would it please my lord that shall become him.
Why should I not? Have I the heart to do it, like to the Egyptian thief at point of death, kill what I love? Now hear me say but this. Since that I partly know the instrument that screws me from my true place in your favor, live you, the marble-breasted tyrant, still. But this, your minion, whom I know you love, and whom I swear by heaven I tender dearly, him will I tear out of that cruel eye where he sits crowned in his master's spite. Come, boy, with me. My thoughts are ripe in mischief. I'll sacrifice the lamb that I do love to spite a raven's heart within a dove.
Nice. Nice.
Bravo.
Wow. So tell me, you guys are out in Ramsey Park, correct? What are some challenges other than rain today?
Well, the challenges are the wind and the rain, which is a song from the show. It's
That's
about
so
hey ho, the wind and the rain. And those are the major challenges. We had quite a windy night last weekend, and it is hard to make yourself heard over that. But our actors, they've trained the entire rehearsal process. We're incredibly fortunate in Austin Theater in that we get to rehearse the whole time in the space that we
That's
use
lovely.
For our performance. This almost never happens. And so they've had the opportunity to work and to build up their voices in order to cut through all of that stuff.
And
so,
our heat tolerance.
Well,
that is true.
We've run out of time. I'm so glad you guys came and joined us today. You have one more weekend left, correct?
We do, yes. It's Thursday through Saturday, 8 p.m. in Ramsey Park.
Great. So if listeners wanted more information, they could go to S4N, that's the number 4, S4N.org. For more information on Something for Nothing's production of Twelfth Night at Ramsey Park, now through June 23rd. Thank you guys so much for being here. Glad you guys were here.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
We'll be right back.
Needs an ending, homosexual.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air. I am Nick Mayo with my remarkably talented Tracy Schultz on the board.
Tracy Schultz. Trying to do the Nick song.
Tracy Schultz.
Yeah. So Nick's once again, you are listening to KOOP HD1, HD3, Hornsby, and KOOP.org. So, June 20th. Right?
Yeah.
June 20th. Yeah. Right into Today in Theater History.
Today
in Theater History!
Oh,
yes.
That sounded great. Somebody listens to the show.
That's
awesome.
That's what I love it. Hey, guys, we got a little bit of a happy birthday Lillian Hellman today. Aww. 1905.
We have the Mayo and the Hellman.
I love that Mayo.
You must do improv. That's
or make sandwiches.
Or make lots
comedy
of...
Comedy sandwiches.
So in 1905 is the birthday of playwright Lillian Hellman. We all know she wrote The Children's Hour, Little Foxes. Yeah. Wonderful. So happy birthday, Lillian Hellman. In 1910, a strike against racial prejudice, Florence Ziegfeld opens the Ziegfeld Follies in 1910 with actor Burt Williams as co-star, making the first time white and black entertainers have appeared on the stage together in a major Broadway production. Hey, that's really cool.
That's amazing.
1910, the day after Juneteenth. That's some poetry in there, right?
Yeah, simpatico.
That's really, really cool. On a completely different note, 19 years later, in 1929, the musical revue Hot Chocolate opens and runs a 219 performance run at the Hudson Theater featuring some of the great stars of Harlem nightclubs, including the Broadway debut of Louis Armstrong, scored by Fats Waller, Harry Brooks, and Andy Razzoff. So, I mean, it just took 19 years, right? It's the catalyst, and then the doors open. What a beautiful, beautiful piece of poetry on this day, 1929.
I'm proud to say my 2.5-year-old knows who Louis Armstrong is.
Man. Okay, Tracy, give me your best Louis Armstrong. Go for it.
What a wonderful world.
Best Louis Armstrong, go.
What a wonderful... That's horrible.
Best Louis Armstrong.
And I'll think too much.
Best Louis Armstrong.
What a wonderful
These are
world.
Awful. These are awful.
All right, here we go. Let me see if I... Puppy, puppy,
yes,
puppy,
yes,
puppy.
I knew it.
Yeah.
Birds do it.
Yeah, that's it. Birds do it. Bees do it.
That's better. That's a better clip, yeah.
I think I did Elvis first time around.
Mine was like Louis Armstrong after he sucked helium out of
it. I was Fozzie Bear.
Whatever it was, I enjoyed it, all three of you, all four of you.
That's awesome.
So today is also the birthday of composer and lyricist Jason Robert Brown. For those of you who don't know, he wrote the Tony Award-winning scores of Parade, The Bridges of Madison County, The Last 5 Years, 13 Honeymoon in Vegas. Pretty cool, right?
Yeah, nice bit of work there.
Yeah. On this day in theater history, in 1984, the first Broadway revival of Noel Coward's Design for Living opens at Circle in the Square Theater for a run of 245 performances. Stars Jill Clayburgh, Raul Julia, and Frank Langella.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's exciting. In 2004, the Tony Award winning musical Thoroughly Modern Millie closed after 903 performances. Not a bad run.
Wow.
Other birthdays we have today, Olympia Dukakis.
Mazel,
Olympia. John Mahoney, John Goodman. And Josh Lucas. So happy birthday, guys.
Happy
June 20th
birthday.
Was a cool, cool day. Pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
So we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we will be with our friends from Girls, Girls, Girls improvised musical, Broad Ambition. Stay with us. And I am there. So truly one of my favorite songs with one of my favorite voices. Of course, everything we're playing today is William Finn. That is Anytime by William Finn, sung by Norm Lewis. who I know Nicole loves. But what a beautiful song and great voice. Norm has been a big treasure of the American Musical Theater for a while.
Wow. Yeah, I need to know more about him. He sounds really great.
He's got this like beautiful, velvety voice. Anyway, I love him. I can go on and on about Norm Lewis. But I can't because the girls, girls, girls are here.
Should we
Hi,
all
girls,
do
girls, girls.
Our Norm Lewis impersonation?
You're like, I love coming on offstage on air because they make us do really stupid stuff. So Girls, 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 improvised musical, Broad Ambition. We've got Cynthia Olkers.
Good job.
What?
German name.
We've got Shayna Merlin.
Improv wizard.
Improv wizard. And we've got Kimberly Finkelman.
The only person you'll ever meet with that name.
Unless you're on the Upper West Side of Manhattan.
No, I think I might still be singular. In
this. Really?
You are going to be hard-pressed to find that, Finkelman, my friend.
That's get that true. Domain name,
I'm
girl.
I'm related to
get
all
it.
Of them.
Yeah.
I got all taken. The emails. I got all
the Gmails.
Same with Olkers.
AOL instant message name.
Use your real name. They can find you.
So girls, 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 talk about Broad Ambition. What's going on? What kind of shenanigans are you up to?
So this is a show based on the movie 9 to 5, Working Girl. It's the 80s working woman revenge comedy musical.
Yes, it
improv
is.
Improv show.
Yes.
And so we've been studying the 80s music. We have been frying out our hair every week.
80s nice.
Dance. 80s dance.
A lot of shoulder shimmy.
Yes.
We do a lot of jazzercise and pointing.
Yes, we have watched a number of jazzercise.
Power
videos.
Ballads.
Yes.
And arena rock and hair metal.
Heartland rock.
Yeah.
Yep. I love that.
It's great.
Have y'all done like an 80s potluck? If you haven't, you should.
You're invited.
Where we bring our cup of tea and sell it to each other.
Yeah,
afterwards.
80s food, right?
Just bring a TV dinner and you're
TV,
set.
TV
and
dinner.
And DLT and
yes, Brandy right. Alexander's.
Jelly with fruit in it.
Bartles and James.
Yes.
Yeah, we got
everything
it all.
Was like, pour some booze and some ice cream in a blender and serve it with some mint on the side.
It was all the ladies' lunches had like lime sherbet,
yes,
with Sprite and vodka.
Yes,
yes, I do remember.
Which I will still go after a Sprite and vodka. Don't get in my way. So what made you, I mean, other than the fact that it's fabulous, what made you drawn to this time, this time in the world?
So we are a collective of women. We've been together for 15 years. We are Austin's longest running improv troupe. So we're kind of like a sisterhood / cult at this point. Mm-hmm. And every year we have a retreat in the fall where we go away to a ranch and we think about what we want to do the next year. And this was when all the Me Too stuff was really hitting. And we were kind of like, hey, remember the 80s when everybody told us we had equality and we had arrived and we hadn't? And then now that's happening like all over again. And so we felt like there was so much resonating from now and then of just this kind of false hopes and the struggles of like women. We're all working women. A lot of us are working moms. So it meant, and a lot of us were in the 80s.
Yes.
So it meant a lot to us.
For those of your company, how many are in the company, by the way?
Seven.
Eight. It's seven?
I don't know.
Cynthia's really
Oh, is she really in the company, that eight?
She comes and goes.
And are there any of your company members who don't know the 80s?
Yes.
We have a girl born in the 90s.
Yeah.
The girlfriend did a research.
Oh, she did?
She pulls out references.
Oh, good.
All the time. I'm like, did you know?
She's kind of the best at it.
She's the best at it. I think she spends a lot of time researching.
Yes.
That's amazing. You're like, I don't want to relive it.
I don't know a lot of this stuff. Wow, yeah, I kept being like, is it 90s? Is it 80s? I don't remember. Yeah. It's all a blur.
Right. She's on it.
Especially those early 90s where right. That little transition from 80s to 90s. It's like, I think it was the 80s until 94.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's just my thought. It was a fun time.
There's so many things it's like to talk about because it's like there is, it's like the Dynasty and Knots Landing.
Dallas.
And there's also grunge that kind of came in at the end there. Yes. So there's like a whole little like thing to kind of pick and choose from. It's like
So tell me a little bit about other than the joy of sharing this, right? You're at the Cold Town Theater. Mm-hmm. You open on June 23rd or do you go to June 23rd?
You go
to June 23rd. Have you had some audiences yet?
We have another show coming up at the Out of Bounds Comedy Festival. So
yeah.
The show run's not done.
Right.
It's just officially
we were
we'll
at
keep
the,
popping up with it.
Yes. We were at the Hideout in May and we sold out all the shows before Showtime, which was so great. We loved working there. And now we're at Cold Town and we've had really full houses and it's been wonderful working at two different local theaters and feeling the different vibes of the theaters and the different audiences that come out for it.
Before we did the show run at Cold Town, we did it at the Hideout Theater. Uh-huh. And then we'll bring it back for Out of Bounds.
I don't know if you heard this, but before we did the show at Cold Town, we also did it at the
Hideout. So wait a minute. Before you did it at Cold Town, where were you?
No, it was at the Hideout.
No, yeah.
The Hideout.
You can't find it because it's hidden. But
oh,
it's,
where was it? Did you ever find it or not?
No. Did you say Hideout the first time?
I didn't hear you say it. Okay. I thought you didn't.
We're really good at being in the moment and listening and building off of each other. That's kind of what
makes
we're
a really
specialized.
Good improviser.
That's our strength.
If audiences wanted to come and see this, could I bring, say, my 15-year-old godson?
15 would be fine. You might hear some four-letter words every once in a while because we are real women in the 80s workplace being frustrated and oppressed.
Yeah, of course.
It's PG-13, I'd say.
PG-13, awesome.
We had a few fun strip teases, but we always keep our spanks on. So.
How are audiences? Are they just having a good time and just enjoying it?
Yes. It's been neat because a lot of the women in the audience worked in the 80s. We ask that a lot of times when we open, like who worked in the 80s and the hands go up. And one of the most special things for us has been talking to our moms, our aunts, mm-hmm. and hearing the stories. Like my mother, she was a salesperson for a medical industry, and she was the first one in Houston. They had to get together. The board of directors had to decide what she could wear to work.
Hmm. Wow. That's a good allocation of funds.
Yeah.
Let's bring the board together to pick out your outfit.
Well, you can't let a woman decide for herself.
No! She's not qualified. We actually start the show every show with, Ms. Magazine was a magazine at the time. All these women wrote in letters about things that they were experiencing related to this topic. And so we start the show with taken a bunch of stories from there that we've not yet read, and we initiate the show by reading one of those letters and use that as the inspiration. So it's somebody that we'll never know's real story becomes the inspiration, you know, God, how many years? 30 years later?
30, yes. Over 30.
Improvised show on stage that they'll never know we're doing. It's actually, this is a weird thing, actually.
How'd you get your hands on those? That sounds fun to you. Or like thrifting.
There's a book.
Oh, there's a book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Caitlin Sweetlam was kind of our dramaturg.
That's awesome.
And found them for us.
So in this improv, in this show, there's song, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. There's situational improvisation. Y'all are all over the place, right?
There's dance.
Mm-hmm.
There's romance.
Is there a thigh master that comes out too?
We gotta do that this Saturday.
You looked at me as if
brilliant.
And there's always revenge.
I wish you guys would have called me because Jeannie Pitts Mayo, aka my mother, lives down about an hour down the way in a small little town called San Antonio. and she's got a closet full of clothes that no longer fit her that she's had since the 80s that I'm like, hey mom, why don't we clean out the closet? And she's like, no.
I'm not gonna lie.
You could be like, but for theater.
Yes.
Yeah, but for good. I was surprised by how expensive those 80s blazers were. We were getting at the thrift.
Listen, next time, ladies.
Yes. Thank you, Ms. Mayo. We
keep
need
it in
you.
My Miss Jeannie Pitts. Jeannie Pitts Mayo.
Jeannie Pitts.
Hellman is the Mayo. Oh.
The Hideout Theater, Cynthia.
Yeah. The Hideout. So I bet you guys are a little bit a little bit sad that it's ending this weekend.
Yes. This has been a really important show and special to me. And so I am sad. My hair is thankful because it's like hay, because I have hot sticks that I put in it.
Yeah.
And everyone's been teasing their hair and spraying it down.
Yeah. And it's kind of like we've been able to tell our stories in flashback or at a distance. So it's been very satisfying because it's campy and funny, but I read the story from Ms. Magazine, the letter last week, and I could have written that letter today.
Wow! Does it make you feel connected to your
moms.
Community? You know, to your mom. I was about to
say our moms.
Yeah. I mean, just having this conversation, I'm like, I can't wait to call my mom.
Yes.
That's lovely. What a wonderful. I think that's such the joy in what we do is the surprises, right? You started off just to want to have fun and explore a time and. You had a curiosity, and I can feel it from you guys that it's given back to you.
Was there any one thing that kind of like stood out as like going, I did not know this before, and I know this now, just because it's like either a letter is like inspired you or informed you or something like that.
Our last show, the letter was all about how the woman worked full time and went to night school and still did 100% of the household chores. Mm. And we see her husband, we meet him later on in the show, and he's a good guy. He's friendly, he's nice, but
He
loves her. It just doesn't occur to him that he should be sharing that workload because that's not the way it has been.
Mm-hmm.
And she's burnt out. And then she goes to visit her own mother and father, and her mother, Megan Flynn,
is all really uptight, and the father, Amy Averett, is like, well, whatever your mother says. And she goes, you get a divorce? No, you stay in it for a long time, and you make it work. And she's all just pent up. And then eventually she takes off her skirt. Her Spanx are still on.
Uh-huh.
And we have
it's like, Mom, I don't want to do 30 more years of this, because look at you.
Wow. Look at you.
I think part of what's fun about the show, too, is that these are dramatic topics.
Yeah.
And this show could go one way, where we all come out crying at the end. But because it is campy, it's like absurdity is being matched with very serious moments that almost every woman has in some capacity experienced. Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I think that improv does beautifully, is that it helps people see that we are always of many minds about something. Mm-hmm. So I really hope our listeners, if they'd like to get some more information, I'd love to tell them where they can go. Thank you so much for coming on. This
thank
is
you.
Really
perfect.
A treat. We have
fun.
Run completely out of time.
Perfect.
But Cynthia Okers, Shayna Merlin, and Kimberly Finkelman, what a joy to have you in Girls, Girls, Girls Improvise Musical Broad Ambition. Playing now through the 23rd at the Cold Town Theater, mm-hmm. not the Hideout Theater. For more information, you can go on Facebook and look GGG Improv. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for being here. Well, Tracy, we are done.
We are done.
D-U-N, done. I want to thank you all for tuning in. Thanks, Tracy, for doing such a great job on the board. Stand by, guys, for Austin Monitor News. We'll be back next week when we look at what's happening off stage and on the air. Have a good one.
Goodbye.
And I am there.